Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're going to talk today, Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 38. Jesus is teaching in the unfolding of really the Sermon on the Mount teaching, which is he helps us understand how to walk out the first commandment. If you think about the heart of the Christian life is a new life in the Spirit. What's a Christian? A Christian is a man or a woman or a child who was forgiven, who was united to Jesus in baptism, was put to death in baptism, that is, put to death by being united to the cross of Christ, and the death of Jesus, what Paul tells us in Romans chapter 6, I believe. We're united to the death of Jesus. The old man in us, that is the man that was set against God, caught in sin, trapped by the dominion of sin and death, and we had, as Paul would say, lived without hope in the world, and were in had a death-directed destiny, ultimately to be separated from God. And in baptism, we're united to that act of love by which we have been saved. That's the death of Jesus on the cross. And the blood of Jesus is applied to our lives. And that blood cleanses us from sin and sin's power and sin's dominion over us. And in that moment, we're given a share in the life of God. We're given the life that's in Christ. We're born again. That's where we're born again, by water and the Spirit. And we become children of God. So John the Apostle would say that he gave us power to become children of God. And children of God are those who are born again into Jesus. And it's not just, we're not just maintaining a set of beliefs and values like a philosophy or something. What's happened to us is we've been given a new life. We've been given a life that no one on the earth can generate. It comes directly from God. And it's God's life given to us because of the, you know, the birth, life, you know, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus into glory to the right hand of the Father. Because Jesus became one of us, he then became what Paul will tell us, it's in Corinthians as well, that where Adam was the natural father of the human race, but Jesus became a life-giving spirit. Jesus rose, and he has the power within him that the Father has given to him, as Jesus said, to give eternal life to whomever he desires. And that eternal life is the divine life. It's a share in God's own life. The reason we can pass from death to life is because that disordered energy of death is destroyed by the work, the act of love, again, the power of the cross, as Paul said, this is what disarmed the principalities and powers. Because in that offering of love, Jesus, to the Father, offering his life as a sacrifice, he gave to God what belongs to God. He's the one who did it. He was the faithful Son. And he's now the beginning of the new creation, so that the Father raised him, the Spirit raised him from the dead. And that life that he has in him now, in his flesh, he has the power to share with whomever he desires. And that's what he's come to do. He's our elder brother who's come to give us a share and inheritance in the treasure which he possesses as the firstborn, as the beloved. And so he gives us this grace of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the power of God as well. It gives us power to live a new way of life, to walk in the footsteps of Jesus and to be like Jesus in giving to God the Father what belongs to him, loving God first, loving our neighbor, loving ourselves in the right way, and that being the center and the core out of which we live our lives. And so the readings that we're taking up here in the gospel are only possible because of this work of God in us. It's a gift. Salvation, I mean, you know, this justification that is being made right with God, receiving the life of God. This is God's gift. And the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, will give us power. He'll clothe us with power. He'll lead us to all truth. He'll remind us everything Jesus taught, and he'll give us a new heart. And he'll teach us and empower us to love the way Jesus loves. And it's a lifelong journey, and he will be faithful to it. He'll be faithful to that mission in us of being bringing Christ's life right to the core of our being so that we live from it. And we begin to, again, walk in the footsteps of Jesus. And so in Luke chapter 6, what we're seeing today, and as Matthew, you know, chapter 5, and places the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is giving a teaching, a series of teachings, you might say, or a series of topics in the teaching, and they're all focused on pretty much how to walk out that love. Where is the Holy Spirit leading us, the Spirit that I've been given? What is he seeking to produce in me? What does it look like concretely? That's, for example, we're going to hear today now from Jesus. Jesus said to his disciples, imagine yourself in this crowd. If you're baptized into Christ, you are his disciple. If you've said yes to him and you want to be his follower, you confess, you know, his name, and that's what you're desiring, that's what you're wanting for your life, you're his disciple. He says, to you who hear, I say, love your enemies. Wow. He's starting with the most difficult teaching, I think, in the entire New Testament. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Amazing. Only the Holy Spirit can make this possible in us. You remember Jesus on the cross? He's bleeding. He's been stripped and humiliated, punched, beaten, spit on, mocked, skin torn off his body. He's a public humiliation, and he's been cursed by the people. And what did Jesus say? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That's so different than the energy that's often in my heart. It's so different than the energy that's just so visibly in the world. Payback. The instinct to just dislike somebody or speak wrongly, speak negatively of somebody, wanting to see people get it, who you don't like, who your enemies are, stuff like that. And this is Jesus' expectation for us. It just seems impossible. That's because it is on our own strength. It's impossible, and Jesus knows it. But he said to us, with God, all things are possible. And what he's saying to us is, I'm giving you all the help you'll need. I'm giving you the power to step into this life if you want it, if you seek it. And you know, one of the blessings in the Catholic Church is all the list of saints we have and the stories of the saints and the martyrs, especially in the early church. It still happens today in the world, but in the early church, there's so many beautiful models of, you know, during the time of the Roman Empire, when the great persecutions happened and people were martyred. And they said, eventually, one of the main things that converted Rome, pagan Rome, was that those who were martyred, as they were dying, they were forgiving those who were killing them. They were at peace and they died in the joy of the Lord, which it just completely destroyed all the categories and the mind and the experience of those who were putting them to death. They'd never seen anything like it. And it was one of the things that really had a lasting and shocking impact on the Roman world. Was that just a matter of the martyrs summoning their strength, kind of white-knuckling it? This is my moment. You can bet at moments leading up to it, they were terrified because they're human beings. And they leaned into the Lord. You can bet they prayed and they had brothers and sisters praying for them. They were about to step into their nightmare. And because they had the mind of Christ, because they loved Jesus so much. They saw what was meant for evil against them as a moment of extraordinary opportunity, an opportunity to witness in a totally unequivocal way, a total expression of love and conformity to the life of Jesus, in imitation of Jesus. And God gave them the grace. Jesus fulfilled his promise, and they were able to live out this very thing. They died praying. They forgave the people. They willed the good of the people who literally were their enemy and who hated them or killed them, right? Luke goes on, he said, to the person who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other one as well. And from the person who takes your cloak, do not withhold even your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you. And from one who takes what is yours, do not demand it back. Wow. Do to others what you'd have them do to you. Boy, this is one that, this is so straightforward and so simple. As I was watching the riots in Minneapolis a few months back, I'm from the Twin Cities area, I'm in Minnesota, went to school there. And I was just thinking about how leaders were, you know, not exactly encouraging, but just saying, you know, people sort of have a right to destroy now other people's property. And it happens in city after city. And it's such a terrible miscalculation and a foolish response to a situation like that, because it violates justice. It violates God's way. It says, do to others what you'd have them do to you. And I thought to myself, would the people who are doing that, would they really want someone to come to their house in their neighborhood or to their parents' business and do what they're doing to other people? Luke goes on, for if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do the same. Jesus is a tough teacher. He said, yeah, love is the centerpiece I'm calling you to. I'm calling you to live out the love that I lived out, but I just want you to know what it's like. It's not just the convenient thing. It's not the kind of thing that, hey, it's easy to treat people who love me well, to want to do good to people who are easy to have that kind of relationship with. Jesus said that's not what it's about. In fact, he goes so far here as to say, what good does it do you? He's not saying you shouldn't do it, but there's not a value add there in terms of a demonstration of the love of the kingdom of God. He said again, but rather love your enemies and do good to them and lend expecting nothing back. Then your reward will be great and you will be children of the Most High. How about that? Jesus is telling us again, he's speaking of rewards again. Your reward will be great. And he's expecting us to trust him and step into this lifestyle. But this is a meditation I know, friends, I need more from my own life. I have to go deeper here by God's grace. I need help. And our whole country does. The world obviously does. Let's pray that we can be this kind of witness in this time of polarization and rage and anger and confusion, and walk it out in the right way according to the King's will. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.